WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. Scary moments at a Dallas airport as gunfire hit a Southwest Airlines plane getting ready to take off. CBS's Stacey Lynn with more.
The plane was preparing for departure at Dallas Love Field when it was reportedly struck by a bullet. According to a Southwest spokesperson, it hit the right side of the aircraft just under the flight deck.
Southwest 2494, we'd like to return to the gate. Need to have an inspection done here on the aircraft.
South 2494, roger.
That's the pilot alerting air traffic control they needed to return to the gate, but he made no mention of the shooting. Dallas police say there were no injuries and they are investigating the incident. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Passengers on a Southwest flight preparing to leave Denver yesterday had to evacuate after someone's cell phone battery caught fire and set a seat ablaze as well.
At least one person was screaming for their life.
Yes.
They were going to die.
Yep.
The person whose phone caught fire is being treated for burns. There are concerns over some of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks, and now an advisor to Vice President-elect J.D. Vance confirms Vance is talking to senators about the confirmation process. CBS's Margaret Brennan with more.
Donald Trump may be getting the result he's seeking, a shock to the system. And with several of these picks, we're seeing that. His choice for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who would lead the large and complex Pentagon with its nearly 3 million employees at a time of global tension, has served in uniform, but he has no previous government or management experience.
President Biden is at the Asia-Pacific Summit in Peru, and there's a lot to talk about. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Later on Saturday, President Biden will sit down with Chinese President Xi, the third in-person meeting of his administration. The White House hoping to build on their meeting from last year in California. At that time, resuming military-to-military communications was a key outcome, since those communications had frozen as tensions flared last year. Taiwan, artificial intelligence, fentanyl, and cyber all expected to be on the agenda.
In Gaza, a search is on after a deadly Israeli airstrike. The BBC's Roisin Hasty.
Health officials say at least 10 Palestinians have been killed in an Israeli strike on a school sheltering displaced families in Gaza City. Rescuers are continuing to search for survivors from the Abu Assi school in the Shati refugee camp. Many are thought to be still trapped under the rubble. Israel has not yet commented on the incident.
In China, 8 people are dead and at least 17 others were injured in a knife attack on a vocational school. Police say a 21-year-old went on a stabbing spree and was arrested at the scene. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make...
allowing abortions before the point at which a fetus could survive outside the womb. Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, says returning to the status quo would mean a dire landscape for abortion access.
Even though abortion is technically available at clinics in Wisconsin right now, it's heavily restricted because of insurance and Medicaid prohibitions. People have to pay out of pocket for a service that should be covered by insurance.
Abortion access disproportionately affects those who are already the most marginalized, Higgins says. She notes while people from all walks of life may find themselves needing abortion care, factors like poverty and racism make it much harder for some to achieve reproductive autonomy compared to those with more economic and social resources.
Those effects make it much harder for folks to be able to access contraceptive care, be in relationships that are stable and healthy and communicative, be able to see past the end of the day, right, into one's future, if you are, again, sort of focused mostly on your own economic scarcity or figuring out how to feed your kids or figuring out how not to get evicted.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hey, this is Aaron, editor for Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. You're about to hear a countdown episode for the election, and while the election did already happen, it's about finding unbiased news sources, so still very relevant. Enjoy.
Hey, so welcome back, Political Orphans, and thanks for joining us on this special election countdown issue of Lost in the Middle. This is episode number 3 with Isaac Saul, who's the curator, editor, driver, probably carries around the monkey wrench, fills up the water cooler and the copying machine, because welcome to small business. But I want to talk to him now in his role as a Pennsylvania native. He grew up in Bucks County, went to school in Pittsburgh. So what is it about Pennsylvania that makes it so swingy?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because today in our kind of political dynamics that we exist in, the most reliable indicator of how people are going to vote is no longer things like, you know, race or geography necessarily. It's education and in some respects, socioeconomics. And what Pennsylvania has is a lot of diversity among those groups, especially counties like Bucks County, where I'm from.
And explain to people who don't know a Pennsylvania map where Bucks County is.
Sure. Yeah. Bucks County is the county just north of Philadelphia. And it encompasses this really wide range of voters. So a lot of, you know, working class white voters who are typically associated with Donald Trump, a lot of highly educated, well-off suburbanites, and a lot of voters of color who are living sort of just on the outskirts of Philadelphia. And so the way that a county like this goes is typically pretty indicative of how the election's going to go. And it's not necessarily who wins. In the last few elections, Democrats have actually won Bucks repeatedly. Hillary Clinton won it. Barack Obama won it the last two times he ran. And Joe Biden won it in 2020. What's really important is the margin. If it's, you know, something like 0 to 1.5%, that's going to be a really good sign for Donald Trump. If Kamala Harris wins it by, you know, more like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, that's probably a good sign for her prospects in the election. If she loses it, then I would bet that Trump is not just going to win Pennsylvania, but'll win the election as a whole. So it's a very interesting place in terms of the voters that make it up. And I think the other thing that makes Pennsylvania really swingy is the kind of typical urban and rural divide that we see in politics today. We have two big cities, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, with two really big, you know, suburban areas surrounding them, and then a huge swath of rural America. I mean, the joke in Pennsylvania is between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia is Pennsyltucky. I mean, it is open country, rural areas, very conservative voters. And when you're passing through the state, you feel like you're in the South. I mean, the vibe, the culture, everything about it feels that way. And the voters vote that way. So it's a really, really interesting state with a lot of interesting dynamics.
So the one place you didn't talk about is one of the counties everybody points to, which is Erie County on the far western corner of the state. We were talking about sports before we came on taping the podcast, talking about the Eagles and who Isaac likes and who he hates among Pennsylvania teams. But when I was interviewing some people in Erie early on, I said to one guy, so Eagles or are you a Steelers fan? And he just about jumped through the screen and said, have you looked at a map? I'm 20 miles from Cleveland. I'm a Browns fan and I'm a Guardians fan. I hope all the other Pennsylvania teams lose constantly. So push it to the other side of the state. What makes it Erie so weird? Only because it seems to have really a track record of picking the winner.
Yeah, I mean, it's first of all, I'll say the importance of Erie County has not been lost on either candidate in this race. You'll see both of them campaigning there. I believe Kamala Harris is actually out there as we're recording this today, or she went out there this week. The thing about Erie that's really interesting is kind of what you just alluded to there. It's a state that is not far from and regionally distinct from what we consider the Midwest, places like Ohio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is up, revolutionaries? Oh my gosh, what a day today is.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever the hell you're joining us. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to get right to it because I've got a guest that's awesome. He was here before on behalf of the Harris campaign. Now he's here on behalf of himself and whatever the hell he wants to talk about. You know him, you love him. Former national radio show host. He's kind of a big deal. And former Congressman Mr. Joe Walsh. Dude, what's up?
Dude, not a big deal at all. I'm a homeless ex-politician. That's all I am. No. On the losing side.
I know. That sucks, eh?
Yes.
But you know what, though? I've been telling people this for years. Yes, it sucks to be on the losing side, but we're on the right side of history. It's just time that's gonna be the judge of that.
You're right.
But
you're
it
right,
still sucks.
My friend.
It still sucks.
It still sucks. You and I can look each other in the mirror, but like I'm not 40 anymore, and this is going to be a long fight to try to straighten this thing out. And I wish I were 40. I wish I had more energy.
Well, and you know, I want to talk about, you know, what now, but I want to, you're so keyed in and tuned into all of this stuff. What the hell happened? What happened?
I'll say it in a nutshell and either agree or disagree with me. I think this entire election was about regular working class people, and a demagogue who brilliantly lied to working class people defeated a political party that has looked down upon and ignored working class people for too long. That's what happened. The liar beat the snobby party, the elitist party. It's a shame.
Yeah, that'll be a tough pill to swallow for some people, I think. You know, and I've heard that, though, from some of the talking heads on, you know, CNN, MSNBC. I think Michael Steele even said that, too. But, you know, it's that's a biting thing, you know what I mean?
It's a really biting thing. And look, and I love Michael Steele and all the other national Republicans who were doing what they could to help her. He's a great guy. I'll be on his show on Saturday morning.
Oh, no
Can't
kidding.
Wait. I love going in there with him. But here, so that's it in broad strokes. But it's still really, really sad because I was out there every day in every battleground state for 3 months, and I heard a lot of Republican and independent support for her, but I also heard a lot of anger. People pissed off of, as you probably did, immigration, crime, the economy, the cost of stuff. And I just had this worry in my head that, like, that anger was going to outweigh whatever she could do in 3 months.
And I've used this analogy a number of times. I think it's kind of, you know, ridiculous that, especially on the border and some of those things, like, they're blaming Kamala Harris. That's the equivalent of here up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, blaming Malik Willis for Jordan Love throwing two picks and losing the game to the Bears. You know? But, right?
That's complicated, Mark. That's complicated because I'm still an Aaron Rodgers fan, and I'm struggling this whole year again.
I feel bad for him. I thought, oh, God.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Like, is he? I guess he's just too old. It's killing me.
I know. I wanted him to go Tom Brady and win a ring. I really did.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Up. Yeah, but I think like
no. It's none of this. None of this is Kamala Harris's fault.
Right.
Outside of what I said, if you're going to blame anybody, I blame a lot of this on freaking Joe Biden.
Yes.
For hanging around too damn long and for being a bitter old guy. Exit the stage. He should have left after 2022, after the midterms, let there be an open primary. She would have been the favorite. She would have had to have made it through a primary. Would have been a whole different deal.
I think Joe Biden hurt her tremendously.
Big time.
Yeah. And I mean, respect to Joe. What he did in 2020 was, you know, to defeat Donald Trump was incredible. What they did was amazing. And but then I suppose on the other hand, you and I probably could have won that race too because of how hated Donald Trump was. But I think that he did hurt her. He did not, you know, by staying in the race and all of that. I remember I was driving down to Chicago to catch a plane with my family, and we were listening to the debate between Biden and Trump, and I was like, what the hell is happening? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was painful. It was painful.
Painful. He let his ego get in the way.
Yes.
He said in 20, I'm going to be the bridge. He's had a successful presidency. And what I don't understand is this. Her losing really hurts his legacy.
Yes.
He enabled. Yep. He enabled. He really helped enable Trump win. And I got to be honest with you, my friend. It pissed me off seeing the two of them sit in the White House yesterday together.
They did too.
I don't think Trump should have invited them. They shouldn't go to his inauguration. No way.
All the things that were not afforded to Joe Biden, you know, and to hear Donald Trump kind of, I really want this transition to be as smooth as ever has been. You know, it's like, shut up, dude. Like, you know, don't even begin to try to pull that, you know, something I can't say on the radio.
No, you're right. You're totally right. Look, you and I preach the same thing. When you lose an election, accept the results and concede.
Yes.
And that's what Kamala Harris did. That's what Biden did the other day. Trump's still never done that. But then after that, you don't do anything to support who this is. If you really believe, as Biden and Harris said, that he's an authoritarian, he's a threat to democracy, he is. If you really believe that, you can't invite him to the White House. You can't go to his inauguration. No.
Yeah.
If you really believe that.
I didn't even think about that. I was just too pissed off to be remembering all the stuff that Donald Trump tried to pull 4 years ago. And so that's what really made me mad. I didn't even think of that, you know, the other side of that too. But that's true. You know, if he is that authoritarian, the direct threat to democracy, and now he has all three branches completely unchecked, yeah, what the hell?
And it pisses me off. You know, there's this guy, Scott Jennings, who's on CNN, and sometimes I'm on with him, and he just pisses me off.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
He's become a total Trumper. He made a good point yesterday. He said, look, you were calling this guy a fascist during the campaign. Well, if you think he's a fascist, and Kamala Harris said he was, and I believe he is, then why are you inviting him to the White House?
Yeah.
He's right, if you believe that. Now, Trump didn't do any of that 4 years ago because Trump was just pissed off he lost.
Right.
But
this is a child.
People like you, me, Biden, Harris, we believe Trump is this threat. You can't, like, put your stamp of approval on that. You can't.
No. The thing that, you know, to go back to the what the hell happened, leading up to the election, leading up to that day, I mean, there was doom and gloom that last week, but then all of a sudden the Iowa poll came out and I was like, oh my God. And then Trump is flailing, talking about the election is rigged. And then, you know, poll numbers are slipping and he's looking like the tired old man. It's like 2020 all over again, you know?
Yes.
But then I do totally agree that these issues that are there about when you go to the grocery store, it's really expensive. And people do want a secure border, and people do want the government to not spend more than it has. I think you're exactly right. You know,
it's like the I don't care people. This past weekend, I was at a family reunion. Most of my family voted for Trump, and they're not dummies.
Yeah.
But they basically said, Joe, I know he's a bad guy. I know January 6th was bad. I know he's thinks he's above the law, but Joe, I mean, I don't care. I mean, come on, man. I want a border. I want my economy. I want blah, blah, blah. They don't care. And
that's
I would hear that out on the campaign trail. I don't care. I don't care that Trump's a bad guy. Joe, I know he is. I want boom, boom, boom. I want A, B, C, D, E. And Kamala couldn't overcome that in 3 months.
Do you think there's anything that she would have done differently?
The only thing, and I don't think she could have won with hindsight now, but the only thing she could have done differently in 3 months was from day one when she became the nominee, she should have freaking gotten out there everywhere right away. She should have gone on Joe Rogan 3 months ago. She should have held a news conference with all these media knuckleheads every day. She should have had town halls every day. She should have sat down with Hannity, Tucker Carlson, everybody and just fired away. What they tried to do, people around her, was protect her, like keep her in this bubble and ride the vibe of joy. And then they waited until like early October to kind of let her out there a little bit. That's the only thing I would have done differently, but I don't know if she would have won with that.
Do you think that that was kind of the strategy to, you know, because, yeah. I mean, Joe Biden won that race from his basement just about, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what totally, they did 4 years ago. Right.
Totally different deal. You said something really smart. People were just so sick of Trump 4 years ago, and it was COVID, so a totally different environment. She couldn't have done that. Her people, and I knew her campaign people well, they believed that by presenting someone youthful and joyful and we're better than this, and Trump so bad, that would win. They just forgot about these issues and how angry people are about those issues.
Yeah, and I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, these issues hurt a lot of people, you know?
Heck yes.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. And again, this isn't Kamala's fault. This is Biden's fault.
Yeah.
When Biden got elected, he basically opened up the border. He said, I'm going to be the opposite of Trump. Well, after 3.5 years, that bit him in the ass politically.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't really have any, I don't disagree. I think it's interesting to see the direction that the two campaigns went and how shameful Trump was in those final days. We were talking about Kamala Harris is for they, them, and I'm for you and all this. I mean, it's really hateful stuff.
So what saddens me more than anything, and I've been really down, I've been a dark Irishman for 8 days now. What saddens me more than anything is kind of what you just said. I've never seen this in American history where a candidate for president could say anything and it didn't matter.
Right. We got like that. Former Congressman Joe Walsh here. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break and finish up what the heck happened. We'll see you back in a little bit.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you.
Yeah.
You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Wisconsin? I feel like that 70s show. Hello, Wisconsin. You're on the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker here. We've got former Congressman, my friend and yours, Mr. Joe Walsh. We were talking about on the other side of the break, the one thing that really bums you out, we were talking about how, you know, Donald Trump and the division that he was. And I'm sorry I cut you off, but keep that going.
No, this is what just really bums me out. We've never seen this before where a candidate could say anything and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
He could be hateful, cruel, dishonest, ugly, traitorous. But we reached a point where the people who voted for him didn't care. Like, I don't remember that ever before. It's like it doesn't matter what Trump says. He was right a long time ago when he said I could shoot somebody in the middle of New York City and it wouldn't matter. That's a dangerous place to be.
It's a dangerous place to be. And, like, the one thing that – well, there's a lot that really bums me out too, is, you know, between the hatred and just the fact that it's what he says is not true. That really, really scathing, biting ad about Kamala Harris is for they, them. The program that he was referring to started during the Trump administration itself.
Yeah.
You know, it was the prisoners having a sex change. And what he was referring to, that only happened twice during the Biden administration. And it was because in those two cases, people were too far along in their transitions. If they would go into a jail or prison, it would be horrifically unsafe for that person. So
absolute lie.
Yes.
They're eating cats and dogs.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Absolute lie. And the other, Mark, the other amazing one was you can send your 12-year-old boy to school and he'll get a surgical procedure at school and he'll come home as a 12-year-old girl without your consent.
Yeah.
An absolute lie, but this stuff worked.
You know, and it comes from places that are really dark. You know, you talk about the I call them the minivan Taliban, the Moms for Liberty. The hatred and, you know, the banning books and all of these things. Like, dude, this is not a good place to be in as a country.
So I'll go to my grave always feeling guilty because I helped get us here. I helped to radicalize that group and a number of these groups because I was the right-wing radio guy for years, and I helped get these people really pissed off and scared. And then they got to Trump, and as you just said, now it's taken them to the darkest, ugliest place ever. And I'll always feel bad about that because I don't know how we rescue a lot of these people.
I got to say this, though, too. This campaign, there are a few people that I followed a lot, and you were one of them because, you know, you came on the show and I knew who you were from when I was in the Republican Party. And I looked out to you and I still do. The things that you've done, I mean, you came on my show. You were in people's living rooms. You went on TV and you showed such immeasurable integrity through this whole thing. You know, like I appreciate the hell out of you for that. I really, really do.
Again, my friend, I appreciate that. But again, I did this in 20 with Biden, but this is to make up for the divisive SOB I was before I turned on Trump 6 years ago. I mean, we're dangerously divided and people like me help create it. So I'm trying to do something about it.
What do we learn from this, you know, as a country, as center right, center left, middle America? Like what can we learn from all of this?
I think we can learn a couple things. We can learn that this Republican Party is what it is and it's never changing.
It's gone.
So all of these, gone.
Yep, it's gone.
So all of these national Republicans that I speak to every week, they're finally getting it. My friend Adam Kinzinger finally gets it.
He's wonderful.
He ain't coming back. And I don't think there's going to be a third party.
I don't either.
We all have, you guys like you and me, all of us in this space, we got to make a decision. We're either just like the resistance out there for good, or we become conservative Democrats. And help that the other lesson is the Democratic Party's got to get their freaking act together.
Bring back the blue dogs.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the play.
So you think, and I we texted each other the day after? And I asked you, what do we do? And you said, we got to become Democrats now.
But technically, I think I said, we become a Democrat or I move into Portugal or Israel or something.
That's true. I should have shared the full quote. Yes. Right. Correct. That is what you said. But
Hey, Mark, you're right. Look, I'm sick of both parties. I wish we had four or five parties, but I just, because MAGA now is that party.
Yes, it's gone.
I think it's gone. And I think, to defeat it, we maybe have to join the Democratic Party and help them get their act together.
One of the things that's been interesting and cool, and I appreciate, is people have reached out to me like asking what I'm going to do next. And I've had some, right. And I've had some conversations with people like, if I would do something, would I even be welcome in the Democratic Party? And they've all, you know, party officials, everybody, overwhelmingly yes. So I think there is a place for people like you, for people like me, but who can build that coalition in 4 years?
Well, and by the way, Mark, I think you're more important than I am. Like, I'm just a national guy. But, I know a guy just like you in Minnesota who's going to do the same thing. And he's a big, well-known Republican in Minnesota. He's where you and I are, and he's going to do it. People like you and him and others in these states, I think, are going to have more influence over other Republicans in this, like you in the state of Wisconsin, making the same move. I don't know. I mean, you know, people like me and Michael Steele and Kinzinger, people like us help. But I think it's local Republicans that got to lead the way who say, MAGA is now the party. I'm over here now.
Okay. So, I mean, I've gotten this question from a ton of people, you know, and it's, who leads the resistance? You know, is it Gavin Newsom, yeah. Mayor Pete, you, Kinzinger? Who leads that group?
Undetermined. What we know is the Democratic Party. Look, every Democrat now understands what you and I just said, what happened to the Democrats. We understood it a while ago. Yeah. They lost touch with working class people. Right. So they're going to have a big food fight, right, to see who the biggest Democrats are going to be. Let them do that. I think they'll welcome converts like us. They have to. This is a realignment point here in American politics, because Trump didn't just win his base. Trump made inroads with his hate and fear in virtually every constituency.
Yeah, it's been crazy, you know, and kind of looking at all of this stuff and where we go and how, you know, what happens here next. It's something that we're a little nervous about, but
you should be. And in the meantime, we've got to fight against everything Trump's doing, like Matt Gaetz and Tulsi Gabbard and every other authoritarian, un-American thing he's going to do these next few months.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Here we're on the Rational Revolution with Congressman Joe Walsh. We're going to talk one more. We got one more segment with him. We're going to talk about what he's doing now, because this is important. And we're going to talk about why Trump is dumb and some of the crazy stuff that he's doing now. What do the next 4 years look like? We'll be right back.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs near 52. Chance of rain tonight, lows around 46. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Rain is likely on Monday with a high of 56. For Tuesday, more rain, breezy, highs near 60 degrees.
It's 48 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here, because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of Civic Media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of why he loves somebody.
through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison filmmaker and musician James Runday. And Civic Media host Earl Ingram joins the show to talk about his favorite film noirs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, revolutionaries? You got Mark Becker here on the Rational Revolution talking with former Congressman Joe Walsh. And I really want to tell people about what you're doing right now. And you've been doing this for a while. I have got my Twitter notifications to when you start these live streams. I tune in. I saw you did one today. I wasn't able to watch it. You did one on Israel, and I'm going to watch it after this because I watched a little bit. It seemed freaking fascinating. But talk about the social contract.
Mark, thanks. And it's my podcast every day. We air it live at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock your time central in the morning, a.m. in the morning. And you can watch or download it throughout the day. But I have a conversation every week with somebody I disagree with. And we try to model how to have respectful conversation. Because as you and I said, I didn't always do this. I used to just, man, you're my enemy. I'm going after you. That helped lead to Trump. So I'm trying to make up for that. This one was fascinating. This guy, he's an Israeli. Yep. He lives in Israel. Yep. He's also American. I'm super pro-Israel. He's super pro-Israel. He voted for Trump. I voted for Harris. So we had a conversation. Why? Like, why'd you vote for Trump? Why'd you vote for Harris? It was a really cool conversation. But we're at this point where we hate the people we disagree with. I don't think we can stay together if this continues.
Yeah. I have, this is a preview for folks for next week. I have my five to don'ts of talking politics on Thanksgiving. And one of the to don'ts is don't hate. Don't have hate in your heart. Because that's not how you build a coalition and all that stuff.
I was with somebody last night who said, somebody I really respect, and I won't give you his name. He said, I couldn't be a good friend with a big time Trumper. I just couldn't do it. Could you?
That's a great question.
I mean, a really good friend. It's a great question. It made me think.
I think it would, because this is something that's important. And I talked about this last week as well. I think, you know, what I said was my wife is a black woman. We have two children together. One looks just like me, and our daughter just looks just like her. And so, you know,
so the daughter's way prettier. The daughter's
absolutely.
Way prettier.
Oh my God, yes. And so, like, I've been talking about the errors of Donald Trump and the dangers of Donald Trump for 8 years. So I would probably have to have a conversation with my friend, because it's like everything that I have talked about for the last 8 years, you looked at me, you looked at my family, you looked at my gay brother, and you said, I can overlook that. And so that's overlooking something that my wife can't change. My daughter can't change. My brother can't change. What did you say? I'd like to hear your answer.
I took a pass. I checked it out. But no, Mark, I think about it like this. Like, and I'm not comparing MAGA to the KKK. I'm not, for everybody listening. But could you have a really good friend who was a member of the KKK?
No. No.
Thank you, and I couldn't either. So MAGA, to me, is an un-American, intolerant, authoritarian movement.
Yes.
And I come from MAGA. Yes. So I'd really struggle. I'd always have a conversation, and I do. Every day I have conversations with MAGA. But it would be a struggle to have a really good friend who fervently believed in that philosophy.
It's interesting because I had a conversation with someone who is, you know, he works in my industry that I'm in, outside of this. And he said, you know, because we were talking about how Donald Trump is a huge racist. And he's like, well, how is he a racist? And I said, well, look at the people that support him. And he said, well, you can't control that. And I said, well, two things. Number one, I've done this long enough to know that you absolutely can. But number two, if you, so I said, I'll walk down that road with you. Let's say he can't. Okay. But then you step into the Donald Trump, you know, support sphere, in the support room, the tent. And on one hand, you look and you have, you know, white nationalists, neo-Nazis. On the other hand, you look, you have hate groups, LGBT, like hate groups. And you have people who hate Israel. You have people who talk down to women. If I were in a political room and I looked around and saw those people, I'm in the wrong room.
Yeah.
How?
No, I know that. It's a really difficult thing. And again, what I do with the social contract is I'll have a conversation with them. Like I'd sit down and have a conversation with Tucker Carlson. Obviously I would. but I abhor
him. That'd be fascinating.
I could never be friends with him. I used to know him really well. I could never be friends with him again, but I'd have a conversation with him.
So how does that look for our listeners out there? Because I really do want them to tune in, because what you do is really important, because, you know, I think you and I are kind of cut from the same cloth where we're in that world. And people ask me all the time, how do you talk to those people? Why do you do this? Why? And it's like, you're not going to change any hearts and minds by flipping them off, you know? But like, how is the response typically?
Well, and you can change some hearts and minds if you have a respectful conversation with them. And I have over the last number of years, not hundreds of thousands, but definitely some. Every few weeks, I change one. They see the light. All I try to do, Mark, is listen to them and ask them pointed questions and try to get at the truth. Because really, I just want to understand why they think the way they think, even if I don't find any common ground. Because I think if we understand why people who we disagree with think the way they think, we won't hate them.
Yeah.
Like I'm a big gun guy.
Yep.
If you're a gun grabber, I'll hate you unless I know why you feel like you do about guns. Right. And then I won't hate you as much.
Right. And I want to ask you about a couple more things. You've been in... yet. You've been in the lion's den in D.C. What are the next 4 years look like? I mean, we've seen like Matt Gaetz. Are you kidding me? Like what? We got to freaking buckle up, dude.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be worse than his first 4 years because he's on a vendetta.
Yeah.
He didn't know what he was doing the first 2 years he got elected.
He's
last
not going to make those mistakes again. Yeah.
Not at all. And he's only got 4 years, even though he laughs about being able to run again. He knows he's only got 4 years. We look at everything he's doing. This is going to be all about revenge. And he's going to try to expand the powers of that office to go after people in this country and around the world he doesn't like. I think we're in for a real scary time.
That sucks. You know, and there was, what was Trey Gowdy was online or was on TV talking about, we should give him a third term, you know, and he'll have the Congress to be able to amend the Constitution.
Gowdy
to give him
said
a third.
That?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
God.
Yeah, he did.
We served together. Good guy. Loved him.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right. What happened to these people, though? I mean, Joe, what happened to these people?
Well, you know what happened? Where did you see Trey? Was he on Fox News?
Yes, it was on Fox News.
Guaranteed, right? Right. So that's what happened. If you're a Joe Walsh and you speak out against Trump, there goes Fox News. There goes conservative media. There goes, you'll never get elected. Trey didn't want to lose any of that.
That's just wild. You know, the people that I listened to when I was in the Republican Party, Trey Gowdy, like what? You know, these people that say that they revere the Constitution and then say that.
And he's not one of the crazies. He's just one of the Republicans that's just gone along with it.
And so, and what's insane is that now to be a Republican, to go to get along with it, you have to be crazy. You have to do that. So one of the things that the last thing I really want to hit on with you is this is a big question. I've got this from dozens of people. I'm sure that you have as well. Kamala Harris put on, in my opinion, an absolute masterclass on how to build a diverse coalition in like 100 days. I mean, she did everything that she could. Really did.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. Who can do that now?
On the Democratic side?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let them all fight it out and somebody will rise to the fore. And it could be her again. I know the Democrats think they want to move beyond her. I campaigned with her husband in Pennsylvania. Great guy. And they're good people. And they don't think they're going to go away.
She
should be a player. No. But the Democrats now will have a fight for what that party is. And they're going to fight. And look, who knows what the world's going to look like in a year and a half?
Yeah.
Who knows who will rise to the fore, right? Everybody's talking about, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania and J.B. Pritzker in Illinois. Who the hell knows?
and it's interesting. Try to take like Gavin Newsom or J.B. Pritzker and I don't know. There was something about how Kamala Harris opened a lot of doors for people because hers is a story of opening doors and kicking them down.
Right.
You know?
Right. But the only thing I'll add is it's got to be somebody who can freaking roll up their sleeves, sit at a freaking bar in northern Wisconsin, have a shot of tequila with a regular guy, and talk that guy's talk. I am tired of the Democratic Party being elite snobs. It better be somebody who can frickin' talk like this.
So how do we as you, me, Kinzinger, all these people, how do we have that discussion not with the Republicans who we've been talking with for a generation or decades, you know, but with Democrats who, you know, hey, you need what I've got. You need to know how to do this. I want to help you. You have to listen to me.
We either join their tent, we go into their tent and become part of them, or on the outside, we try to move and influence them. And the guys I know are trying to figure out which one they want to do. I'm trying to figure out which to do. But either way, we've from outside or from within, we've got to move them. And they're vulnerable right now. They're going to listen because they got their butts smoked.
Yeah, they did. They did.
And
I think, and this is the only way to really to get past this is, and I've been saying this, I know you've been saying this, Kinzinger's been saying this, the only way to get a victory is they have to listen to what to the information we've got. We've got the skeleton key, man. Let us help you. Let us help you.
Agreed.
And
agreed.
Go ahead.
And they got beat. Defeat compels you to get your act together. They got beat bad.
All right. So I want to know what's next for you?
I'm going to give you an honest answer. I don't know. I'm 94 years old. You laugh.
He's not 94.
I feel like I'm 94 years old. I'm 84. I feel 84. And there's a part of me that wants to be done, go buy my 10 acres in the middle of Wisconsin, live with my five or six dogs, and you'll never hear from me again because I'm exhausted. But there's a part of me that will continue with the fight. Those conversations are being had now. They'll be had for the next couple months. I'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. We'll all figure it out.
Yeah. I want to say that your voice is an important one, and I think – you know, your brand and what you've talked about is a lot of healing, a lot of reconciliation, a lot of coming together after a long, hard fight.
Yeah.
I want, like, don't, no, we, hey, We'll welcome you, Northern Wisconsin. Just give us a little bit of time yet, because I think that, you know, we need you. Like, you know, I genuinely mean that. And
I appreciate that, my friend. It's a weird, unique voice because I've lived a very weird, unique journey. So somehow I hope I still stay in it. But it ain't going to be Northern Wisconsin. It's just too freaking cold.
It's ridiculous.
I'm not living there.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But it's just nope. Apologies to our stations in the north. But it sucks. thank you. I know this went a little longer than what we planned, but I cannot thank you enough. Former Congressman Joe Walsh.
Hey, Mark, I'm a fan of you, brother. I'm a fan of you. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Keep up the fight, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back on the Rational Revolution.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
bye.
Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Say you want a revolution. Whoa. You know. Welcome back, revolutionaries, one and all. From every corner of Wisconsin. Now, you got the Rational Revolution. I am your fearless host, Mark Becker, and it's an honor. My goodness. Joe Walsh, what a guy. He just is filled with so much information and experience. And I have to say, you know, if you didn't know who he was before, I mean, he is a national figure. And he was someone that was very, very active in building the Tea Party. And so that's where he kind of comes and says that he was responsible for MAGA, because, I mean, he kind of was. He was one of the guys that really, he did it. And I think that history will be very kind and gracious to that man, because, you know, it's one of those things where you see what you had a hand in and all of a sudden they're like, oh my God. And he has worked and tirelessly and done things, you know, for people and to try to make up for that. And he means that. And I appreciate his time so very much. I want to talk a little bit about a question I asked former Congressman Joe Walsh this, but I want to talk about it a little bit myself. I've been asked by dozens of people, okay, now what? What do we do now? Because, you know, this was a just like a whirlwind of a movement and, you know, momentum to try to defeat someone who is historically evil, right? Someone who is really, really a bad dude. And we failed. We didn't do it. And so it's like, okay, well, now what? Who's going to lead us? Who will lead the resistance? You know? And it was interesting to hear Joe Walsh talk about, well, the Democrats have to have their fight, which is true. They do. And, but the thing is, the part that's kind of sucky is that this fight, we're not going to know who's going to lead the resistance and lead what we're doing for like 2 years, because that's really when when people will come out and say, all right, I'm stepping up to do A, B, C, whatever. But I want to say that, like, saying right now, who will lead us? Who will lead the resistance? I think that's kind of the wrong approach a little bit. And so here's what I recommend. This is Coach Mark's three G's of dealing with the political loss. Okay, here we go. Here we are. The first, I think, is to grieve. Right? We have to be able to do that because it was we do grieve this loss. You know, we were so intimately involved in trying to defeat this tyrant. And we have to grieve the fact that he is now sitting in the Oval Office. It's a big deal, right? And when that is over, I think we take a deep breath and we go to the second G, which is we give thanks. And this is perfect because this is the right time of year to be able to do that. You know, we, at the end of the day, you know, I look at the people that I met. I look at, you know, the time where we put up the yard signs in Colleen's yard. And we met her and we met people on the show. We met people, you know, at the rally for Kamala Harris. Well, all the rallies that we went to and the rally on election night for, you know, supporting the results, no matter what they were. Now we have to live by that. But we have so much to be thankful for. This morning I was getting my kids ready for school. This is taped earlier. And I came back and my daughter was sitting on the little bench and I picked her up and she gave me a big hug and she says, I just love you, Dad. And I'm like, you know, that's awesome. And I'm so grateful to be able to breathe the air that I breathe and see the things that I see and come home to the people I come home to. And that means everything. Because by giving thanks, you can refocus on what is important. And when you refocus on what is important, we put back into perspective why we fought in the first place. Because as we're coming up to the election, as we're in the middle of the fight, everything is a whirlwind and everything is spinning around and you're just trying to do everything and see everything and say everything and meet everybody and try to change hearts and minds. And it's so chaotic that you lose focus on why you did it in the first place. And when you put that back into perspective as to why you fought and what's important, we go to the third G as we get back up. And that's when we can figure out who is the resistance. Because when we get back up, when we fight, we win. And we will. I really believe that we will. I think that we have seen so far with some of these just wild appointments, like Matt Gaetz, you know, who is, you know, under investigation by the very institution that he was tapped to lead. Donald Trump is not going to take this seriously. And the backlash, I tweeted this out in response to Adam Kinzinger on election night or the day after. But the backlash is going to be historic. We said this with Joe Walsh today. We can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I was on the right side of history. I was. We are. So we will win. It's just going to take a little bit of time to get there. And we just have to refocus and take some time to give thanks and remember why we're doing this in the first place, right? That's what's important. And I think that's how we win in the future. Next week.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be joined by President of the Union, Reed Galen, also a founder of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? what thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.